digging out after digging out.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's The Morning Open. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Some fuzzy math in Greece and some unhappy culinary folk in Italy. First, where's Wall Street? Markets are mixed right now. The S&P pretty much flat, down about a tenth of a percent. The NASDAQ is about where it started, and the Dow off about 8 points, 10,050. European shares are up about a percent, and in Asia, stocks close mostly higher today as well. Another snowstorm along the eastern seaboard is causing all kinds of travel problems in and around Washington, D.C., and that's shutting down a lot of legislative business. Congress had to cancel questioning today for Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke and how the Fed is expected to exit its program of money infusion into the U.S. economy and what it's going to do about interest rates. Richard DeKayser is president of Woodley Park Research, and he's on the air live with us from Washington this morning, a very snowy Washington. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Even without Bernanke's testimony, we're going to get his prepared remarks here in about 8 minutes or so, Richard. What does he need to communicate about how the Fed exits this policy?
Well, the Fed chairman, I think, today is going to be speaking mostly to financial institutions. The Fed has undertaken a raft of new policies. They now pay interest on reserves that the banks keep with the Fed, and we're talking over $1 trillion worth here. They're likely to change those interest rates going forward, and the timing is critically important. Banks are always trying to manage the difference between what they pay on deposits they're holding and what they take in on loans that they've made, and navigating those changes is critically important. So the Fed is doing something new, and I think it needs to provide some clarity as to the mode in which it's going to make these changes.
So clarification, I mean, we're talking about interest rates that are pretty much at zero. We can only go up from here. How quickly do you think that's going to happen?
Right. Well, that's the other point. And I don't expect the Fed to provide a lot of clarity on that front. There's still uncertainty even within the Federal Reserve as to the timing and magnitude of interest rate changes. I think what we can count on safely is that we're still a long ways off. And that's why the Fed's making this message right now, to get ahead of those ultimate changes. But the markets are looking for these changes to begin to occur sometime around the fourth quarter of this year. I think that's probably good timing. So, there's no urgency. The economy still has a lot of slack. Unemployment's very high. Rates will go up, as you said, but no time soon. And this is all about preparing the markets for that eventuality.
Richard DeKayser in Washington. Richard, thanks.
Thank you.
Listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, February 10th, 2010, at marketplace.org. The crisis in Greece has battered Europe's single currency. Some of this weakness has been caused by foreign exchange speculators. They've been shorting the euro, betting it'll fall further. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Hedge funds and other investors have bet nearly $8 billion against the euro. That's the biggest short position ever taken on the currency. It's a bet that struggling countries like Greece, Portugal, and Spain won't cut spending enough to control their deficits, and that Europe's central bank and strong economies like Germany won't step in. The short position against the euro is now pressuring European bank officials to help the weakest countries stabilize their finances. Jan Randolph analyzes market risk at IHS Global Insight in London.
So far we've seen words, good-sounding words of support, although they've made it absolutely clear the action has to take place in the front line with regard to Greece, Portugal, Spain. As long as they take action in the right direction, they will be ultimately supported by the rest of the eurozone.
Randolph says the euro may well rise long term since the fundamentals in many European economies remain strong. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
In the aftermath of last month's earthquake, roughly 600 tent cities have sprung up around Port-au-Prince in Haiti. They range in size from a few hundred to thousands. And as Sabri Benachour reports, they've become little centers of commerce.
Point du jour Gilbert is using a little shovel to mix up some crushed ice in a cooler.
Bon, okay, c'est fresco. Il se compre.
I'm selling snow cones. It's just ice, syrup, and a little cup. They go for 10 cents.
We are in a tent city inside a soccer stadium. 4,600 people live on the AstroTurf here, sheltered by sheets hung on 2x4s. Gilbert is just trying to maintain business as usual, selling little pieces of continuity in a cup to people whose lives couldn't be more upside down. He pushes around a red tricycle cart with flat tires and a sign that reads,
Pieditas Gejul. On voit?
Or, loosely translated, hard days, I got them. But Gilbert says the days aren't actually that hard here. People are buying.
Lord knows why. I mean, our situation is impossible. But you know, snow cones aren't that expensive. It's a treat for the kids.
Near the entrance to the tent city, Edna Delise stirs a pot of spaghetti and herbs.
This is my business. It's kind of like a little restaurant.
Little it is. Just a cart, a charcoal-fired pot, and some ingredients. Eggs, vegetables, dried fish.
People can benefit from my cooking, and I can make a little bit of money.
People here get free rice from the World Food Program, but those who can afford it opt for something different now and again. Delise's business is steady, if not brisk. About 30 feet away, you'll find the city's tech sector.
There are a lot of people here who have cell phones that need charging, and there's no electricity.
Willie Reynold-Bissent sits at a table with two surge protectors connected to a gas generator. This is where the tent city charges its phones.
If a customer doesn't have their own charger, it's 60 cents. If they have a charger and just need to plug in, it's 40 cents.
And the business is expanding. Bissent is reserving one of his plugs for a barbershop, i.e. a friend with a set of hair clippers. From Port-au-Prince, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Over the next few weeks, NBC television viewers may tune in for their favorite programs to find instead a version of this announcement.
On January 28, 2010, an application was filed with the Federal Communications Commission for approval of the transfer of control of NBC television.
That legalese relates to the sale of NBC Universal to Comcast. Why should you care about the fine print on this deal? Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
The announcement is the legal equivalent of speak now or forever hold your peace. The proposed deal would marry two media giants, NBC Universal and Comcast. The public has about a month to raise objections with the Federal Communications Commission. Andrew Schwartzman is CEO of the Media Access Project. He argues that the merger could kill competition from internet sites like Hulu and home video companies like Netflix.
Netflix is concerned that Comcast will withhold the Universal Pictures films, which Comcast is acquiring, from Netflix. So that the only way that you can get this large stable of motion picture films is by subscribing to Comcast.
And he's concerned about more merger announcements from other companies.
We fear that if this transaction is approved, there will be a rush for additional consolidation and more sales will take place.
But for now, the NBC-Comcast merger announcement will continue to air on TV through the month. Public notices will also run in newspapers as required by law. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
So, stumped on what to get your sweetheart for Valentine's Day? How about Botox in bulk? A New York doctor has launched a web-based business that offers batches of the youth serum at a discount. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins smooths it all out.
A single visit to a Botox doctor can run you upwards of $750. But buy 10 treatments in bulk at thebotoxbank.com and you'll save $3,000. Jack Birdie started the Botox Bank to keep clients coming to his office in a tough economy. Eventually, he hopes to work with a network of doctors that operate not unlike bank branches across the country.
Maybe a little more stable than Bank of America or some of those.
He hopes. Los Angeles resident Janice Garza is skeptical. She admits to having been touched up, but buying in bulk?
I'm not interested in saving money. I'm interested in having a good doctor.
Garza says she's seen too many cases of facial freshening gone bad. Candace Corlett of WSL Strategic Retail says Birdie's approach has potential.
Botox centers would have to offer savings as well as the convenience of being able to drop in and get your Botox, no appointment necessary.
For now, Corlett says this Costco of Botox may be a bit ahead of its time. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Street protests have been going on today in Athens. Public workers are angry over Greece's new austerity measures to shrink the country's huge deficit. Reports today are that Germany and maybe France may come to the country's rescue with at least, at the very least, some loan guarantees. The business editor of the website protothema.gr is Sotos Chiotakis. In English, his name is the same as mine, Steve Chiotakis, and he happens to be my cousin, and he's with us this morning. Good morning, Soto.
Good morning from Athens, rainy Athens today.
Soto, how did Greece get here in the first place? Give us a little history.
Losing investments, many foreign companies went out of the country because of the lack of competitiveness in Greek economy. Increasing salaries that weren't corresponding to the increasing of the productivity in Greek economy, and also giving many early retirements during the past years. And I have to mention also that the Olympic Games of 2004, Steve, cost us a lot. They had a budget with $4 billion, and they cost at least $15 billion, Steve.
And, you know, Soto, if you wouldn't mind, because you talked about the history a little bit, talk to me about some of the numbers.
Yes, we're reporting in Brussels even surplus, budget with surplus, and that wasn't real. Finally, we discovered that the deficit in the budget is 13%, Steve.
This is 13% of GDP, right?
13% of GDP, yeah. So now we have also to convince the European Union that we're giving them the correct data.
I mean, were these outright lies or just to cover it up, or was it the prior government, or where did these fabricated numbers come from?
They were lying, simply. They were lying, okay? They were covering things. They were covering the deficit of the pension system. They were covering the deficit of the local authorities and all that sort of things. But this has come to an end now. It has to come to an end now. Otherwise, we cannot refinance our debt, you know?
What are the average Greek citizens saying about this issue? Are they concerned about this debt? Are they concerned about the world being concerned about this debt?
Well, they have started to concern, Steve, about this debt. I mean, but the bigger concern now is an increase in taxes. I mean, we had an increase in the fuel taxes, 12% in one day. So that is giving us inflation pressures in the economy, which is still in recession.
All right, Soto, Sotiris Chiotakis, the business editor of the website protothema.gr. And Soto, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Steve.
By the way, a new report by Germany's Der Spiegel magazine has more on how Greece was supposedly cooking its books. It says Goldman Sachs helped engineer a trade that gave Greece an extra $1 billion worth of credit. Reporter Brett Neely has more.
Der Spiegel says in 2002, Goldman Sachs offered to help Greece sell bonds in dollars instead of euros. The transaction used a very favorable exchange rate to convert the proceeds. That helped make the Greek budget deficit look better than it actually was. But when EU economists went over the numbers, they realized the deficit was actually around 12% of GDP, not the 3% Greece had reported.
These kinds of issues, these currency swaps and more disguising of debt, make it seem as if we still can't be confident that we know the magnitude of the problem yet.
Mark Chandler is the chief currency strategist at Brown Brothers Harriman. He says this problem isn't limited to just Greece. German banks and others have used similar tactics. Markets are starting to realize that a lot of debt out there may not be worth as much as the banks say it is. And it's that uncertainty, says Chandler, that's driving the markets crazy right now. I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
In Italy, the agriculture minister is getting a mouthful from critics about this stamp of approval he gave to McDonald's new McItaly burger. He was helping introduce the Italian beef, Asiago cheese, and artichoke spread sandwich. Yes, there is such a thing. Critics say he's selling out and sacrificing Italy's culinary reputation. Certainly no happy meal for him. Hey, check us out online. You can get the podcast there and share your thoughts with us, too. All the latest business news of the day at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Thanks for being with us. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.